This is the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.
This podcast features a 30-minute highlight segment of the 90-minute interfaith comedy show performance held on October 24, 2015 by comedians Aaron Freeman, Arif Chowdhury, and Ray Anania, with a special premiere stand-up performance by Aaron Anania. The event was taped before an audience of more than 250 people in the auditorium of the Holy Cross Church in Deerfield, co-sponsored by Beth Shevarim, the Humanistic Jewish Community. For more information on the performers of the Interfaith Comedy Show, visit the websites aaronfreeman.com, rayhanania.com, and Aaron Hanania's website at aaron411.com. And now the comedy of Aaron Freeman, the MC.
Okay, so it is solely through my being here that this event qualifies for federal matching funds. Is that right? Not Negro One out here. I mean, it's like going snowblind out here. No, it's fine. A lot of my best friends have moved to the house.
Down in the hood.
All right, so now my name is Aaron Freeman. I'm really delighted and shocked to be here. Because the show started at 7 o'clock on time, proving that it was done by Gentiles. Because, you know, between what we call color people time and what we call Jewish standard time, I don't even have to show up. I'm from the west side of Chicago, but I became a Jew. I moved to Highland Park. They told me I had to. But of course, you know, when people find out that I converted to Judaism, there's one the most commonly asked question is, of course, why? By which they mean, what's wrong with you? You didn't have enough trouble? Was it just too easy to rent an apartment? Is that the thing here? And I always tell people, no, hey, I became a Jew for the food. Certainly not for the wine. And you know, after 25 years, I have come to understand the essential nature of Judaism, which is that Judaism is fundamentally the world's most obsessive, compulsive book club. There are five books that the Jews read over and over and over again. We read books about the books. We read commentaries on the book, commentaries on books about the books, none of which do we agree with. But so Rabbi Shimon is the rabbi for the Illinois prison system. He ministers to the Jews in jail. Now, of course, when you say that to a group of Jews, they all go, what? What? No! There's no Jews in jail! What are you talking about? But then you can see it, then Jewish pride hits in. They go, well, if there are Jews in jail, I bet you they're in there for bank fraud, check kiting, white-collar crime, PhD crime, the kind of crime your mother would be proud you were smart enough to commit. Some of the most valuable knowledge that us Negro men always have learned since we were little kids, to wit, whatever you do, make it your business, do not make the white people nervous. Do not frighten the white people, they don't react well to it. By the way, you know the joke about the Lubavitchers, the two Lubavitchers walk past the liquor store? The joke is the two Lubavitchers would walk past the liquor store. But anyway, but there's a tension in Israel between those guys and the regular people. And so it's so great for me because in Israel, when they say, I'd never let my daughter marry a black guy, they don't mean me. In Israel, when they say, why, we had to move out because the neighborhood went black, they're not talking about me. And politics in Israel are really fabulous and interesting. You know, we got Bibi Netanyahu, who I think of as sort of like George Bush, but not so trustworthy. Great guy, I mean, but pure politician, really. I mean, the man will say anything, you know.
My government is committed to exchanging land for peace.
not Israeli land, but one of the places in Illinois they could have Palatine. The Palatine Liberation Organization can count on our full and unequivocal support.
And now the comedy of Arif Chowdhury.
So, you know, sometimes people look at me and they ask me, Arif, where are you from? So I answer honestly. I know the question they're asking me, but I answer honestly. I say, I'm from Northbrook. That's where Ferris Bueller is from. They'll say, no, Arif, I mean, like, where were you born? Because they presume I wasn't born here. So I'll answer honestly. I'll say, I was born in Chicago. No, Arif, I mean, how did you learn to speak English so good? You mean, how did I learn to speak English so well? And I spring the question on her. I'm like, Ma, are we black? She says, no, we're not black, we're Bangladeshi. Okay. Very next day at school, boys and I are playing at recess. We're playing tag, and my buddy Timmy, he's it. He's tracing me all over the playground. Up the slide, down the slide, up the jungle gym, across the jungle gym, down from the jungle gym. He taps me on the shoulder and says, ha ha, you're it. What'd you find out from your mom? Are you black? I said, no, we're not black. We're Bangladeshi. He said, Bunga what? I said, Bangladeshi. He said, what's that? And I said, I don't know, but I'll go home and ask my mom. Marshmallow peeps? Who here has eaten on purpose a marshmallow peep? Oh my goodness. Do you know how to play this game called Chubby Bunny? Do you know all about this game? For those of you who don't know, let me indoctrinate you into Chubby Bunny. Here's what happens. A marshmallow peep is a small chick or a small bunny made of marshmallow. You take this thing and you put it in your mouth and your friend does the same and you try to say the word Chubby Bunny. Then what you do is you take another marshmallow peep, you put it in your mouth, he puts it in his mouth, and you say Chubby Bunny. Then he does it and then you do it again and again until one of you chokes and dies. If you survive, you're welcomed into the world of diabetes. So one year, my father's mother, my grandmother, left Bangladesh to stay with us in Northbrook for 2 years. That first winter, she saw Santa Claus everywhere. She didn't know who Santa Claus was. She saw this big, robust man, long, flowing beard, you know, covered in clothing from head to foot. He's on billboards. He's in news magazine articles. He's in advertisements. He's on TV. My grandmother, who had left Bangladesh to come to America, a majority Muslim country, to what is basically a majority Christian country, she thought that Santa Claus was a very revered Chicago imam. A Muslim cleric. Because if you think about it, if you change the clothing of a Taliban speaker and you just make it go from tan or black to red, it's basically Santa Claus. Basically. I said to my grandma, I said, no, Santa Claus is not a revered Chicago imam. He's this fat man that goes down skinny chimneys, and then in one night, he gives all the world's children all these toys and paper, these little people in the frosty North Pole, and my grandmother looked at me like I was nuts. And that's when I realized, when you look at somebody else's traditions, everything seems weird, and when they look at yours, it seems really, really weird. Awesome. So when my family first saw, my mom first saw the Easter Bunny, right? She said, Arif, what's the Easter Bunny for? Said, what you do is you take this marshmallow peep and you put it in your mouth and you try not to get diabetes. That's what you try to do. And she says, no, it can't be something more than that. Like, so if Easter is about Jesus coming back from the dead, what's the Easter Bunny for? And he said, well, you take a marshmallow peep and you try to put it in your mouth and then you try not to get diabetes.
Keep it going, Rory Chowdhury. Yeah. Without question, the funniest Bangladeshi I have ever seen in my entire life.
And now the comedy of Rehan Ania.
So nice to see all you people here today. How many Arabs in the audience? Great security. And Charlie Wardy, and I lived on the Southeast Side, and Aaron moved in, and of course we moved out. You know, growing up on the southeast side, we had toys. You know, they didn't all blow up. I had this one doll. It was called G.I. Abdullah. You ever have that? G.I. Abdullah, you put him in a war, he'd drop his weapons, throw his hands up in the air, and do that hellish scream. My mom would always come running downstairs and yell, "Get that toy out of the house, you're scaring the sheep." I know, I'm wondering, what are the sheep doing in the front room anyway, Mom? My sister had a doll. It was called Fatima Barbie. Fatima Barbie was very cool. Fatima Barbie only had two accessories. One was the mandatory burqa that covered her from head to toe, hands, feet, and face. You could only see her eyes. She looked kind of like a starfish out of water. Now they have a little cell phone accessory that they stick in there with the burqa. And the other accessory was the brother Fatima Barbie doll. Because if Fatima Barbie ever looked at another male doll, brother Fatima Barbie would kill her. I know, my sister had 62 of those dolls. She went through them pretty quick. A little weird. I remember the kids surrounded me at school and they said, "What are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm an American." They said, "No, you're not." I said, "No, I am. I'm an American." They said, "No, you're not." Said, "All right." So I remember going home and I went to my dad. I said, "Dad, what am I?" And I remember he looked at me and he said, "Oh, God, don't tell him you're Palestinian. Tell him you're Syrian or Lebanese." Imagine it was okay to be Syrian or Lebanese back then. So I went back to school. The kids surrounded me. They said, "What are you?" I said, "I'm cereal." But I think my mom's a lesbian. I don't know. My mom was born in Bethlehem. Jesus is my cousin. My mom always wanted me to be a doctor or a grocery store owner. So when we were in the hospital, of course, my mother couldn't speak any English, but all she heard on the intercom was, "Dr. Raymond, Dr. Raymond, Dr. Raymond." I swear, that's how I got my name. Thank you. Fortunately, though, my dad was a lawyer, and he got the paperwork changed to take the word doctor off the birth certificate. My mom loved this country. She really loved two things about this country. One, she loved to drive a car. Yeah, she'd go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in like 3 seconds. She'd drive around like a terrorist all over Chicagoland. That's where the phrase actually came from. And there was only one thing that would get my mom to stop. She'd pass grapevines. She'd hit that brake so hard, all 30 of the kids would go flying over the back seat. She'd stop the car, march us out, make us pick every grape leaf off of every grapevine within a 5-block area. But I do go to the airport, and I get asked a lot of questions. I think the question I get most asked when I'm at the airport is, "Are you on my flight?" But the worst question I get asked, "Did you pack your bag?" That's the most racist question I've ever heard. They ask me. It's terrible. No, I'm a man. I don't pack my bag, okay? My wife packs the bag. They don't have many Arabs helping with security at the airport, because if they did, we would have a few rules that I would implement right away. Rule number one, if you have a beard with 3 or more pieces of food in it, you're not getting on that flight. Get out of here. Your wife has a beard, turn around and exit security. Over. Don't even come to the airport anymore. Leave your bags. We'll give you the $25 back. We had simple rules like that. We wouldn't have problems with that guy. Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, remember him? They promised him 72 virgins. No way. We're Arab. We read from right to left. It's backwards. One virgin, and she's 72 years old. And we promise her to everybody. Now my wife is a Jew. I didn't know she was a Jew. She said she was Jewish. Which is kind of a Jew, I thought. Okay. I know, I travel to Israel all the time in Palestine. I go through security, they go, hey, you, what are you? I go, I'm Arabish? They go, yeah, right, bend over, buddy. The toughest thing about my wife and I is she's a Republican, I'm a Democrat. And we have worse fights, you know, over the politics and stuff. And she's always saying, the Republican Party is the party of God. Where I come from, that's called Hezbollah. Wedding, you guys should have been to our wedding. We had 900 people. Wow. Yeah. We only sent out 24 invitations. We had all the Arabs on one side, all the Israelis on the other side. We didn't have a bridal party. We had a UN peacekeeping force right down the middle on the Arab side. And during the wedding ceremony, the Arabs and the Israelis were fighting with each other, flicking pita and matzah bread at each other, arguing over who invented the hummus. That's a fight worth fighting, okay? And there were 38 casualties at the wedding. They took one Israeli and 37 Arabs to the hospital. And the next day, the Chicago Tribune headline read, they reported on our wedding, one Israeli injured at Arab terrorist meeting. We had a Jewish wedding. I was under a chuppah. It was made out of wrought iron. They had me handcuffed to the left side. I remember I broke the glass, and then they charged me. Then he looked at me and he said, Mr. Hananiah. Yes, Rabbi? Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Very clever, Mr. Hananiah. And then he looked at Allison and he said, Allison, would you take Ray's ring finger and rub it across the black ink? My father-in-law, Jerry Resnick, great guy. He came up to me at the wedding, wanted to break the ice, and he said, hey, you want to go to a Cubs game? I said, what the heck is a Cubs game? Yeah. Turns out, he said, Cubs is a Yiddish word for someone who promises everything but fails to deliver at the end of the season. These are flight safety cards from the airlines. It says right at the bottom, do not steal them, it's a federal offense. I stole one from LL, and they sent the Mossad to hunt me down, and they told me, if I ever steal another one of their flight safety cards, they're gonna go to Ramallah and bomb the homes of three of my relatives. No, I said, I don't have any relatives in Ramallah. They said, we don't care. By the way, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-semantic, okay? I got an LL, I thought I was going to Mexico. And I had to go to the bathroom, and I got up, and I went to the bathroom, and it didn't say occupied. It said disputed toiletry area. You gotta be up on the news to understand some of these jokes. And when I was done, Alan Dershowitz greeted me to explain why they gave away my seat. They said I had no right of return. And we have a young boy, we named him Aaron, when she's around. Yeah. Abdullah, yalla, Talhana, Palestine, Arabiya. Oh, hey, honey, how are you doing? We're just practicing Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai, yada, 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 yada. I bought him Legos. When he was a kid, now he's in his teens. I bought him Legos. He was in the backyard. He was playing with them. And I walked up. I said, Aaron, what are you building, a wall? He got up and he kicked me. He said it wasn't a wall. It was a fence.
And now the comedy of Aaron Hananiah.
My name is Aaron Hananiah, and I am very patriotic. I call the FBI at least 3 times a week on my dad. I also call the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, and the Mossad, because that increases the amount of money I get paid. And you all know I love money. I actually make more money turning in all my dad's friends. I've seen all their photos hanging at the post office. Arf, you're on the chopping block next. Aaron, you're okay because you're Jewish. You can't imagine what it's like being the son of an Arab father and a Jewish mother. Every day is an intifada in our house. My mom also spends a ton of money on green paint each year. She painted a green line around my dad's office and she called it the Gaza Strip. She also keeps telling us that this year may be the year we make that special trip to the holiest place on earth for Jewish people, Miami. Next year we hope to go to Israel. The first time we moved into our house, it took my mom all day to find the kitchen. She says it's like my father. It doesn't exist. The biggest battlefield is not on stage. It's actually at the dinner table, because my mom does not want my dad to cook any of the Arab food he likes. She says we should eat more Jewish food, so we order a ton from Mo's Chinese Kitchen. If the Jews control the news media, then how come I don't get a discount on my cable television? My dad also wanted to buy me an Xbox game about an Israeli war game, but I told him, Dad, what's the point in playing this if we know who's gonna win? You should have been at my bar mitzvah. There was a huge party, and there were Arabs and Jews in the same room, and only 3 fights happened in the first 5 minutes. It was also very, very expensive because we had a metal detector disguised as a photo booth that the Mossad sent in. And all the photos that were taken were sent directly to Tel Aviv. Whenever we go through airport security, that's the toughest for my dad, because my mom hands me her purse and pats my dad down. She says she doesn't trust the airport security. They don't do a good enough job. All right, that's it. Thank you, guys.
By the way, that was Aaron's first comedy performance. He wrote
Wonderful.
Listen, thank you very much for Arif, my son Aaron, and Aaron Freeman. Back to Aaron.
The performance was also followed by a short question and answer period with the audience.
We have one lady who came up to me after September 11th, and she said, this is the only time I really felt discriminated against. She said, I can't believe, and this is a true story, I can't believe you abandoned your Christian faith to become an Arab.
Well, so when I was in Memphis and with my relatives for a family reunion, and one of my very evangelical Christian relatives said, right now, let's get on our knees and pray to Jesus. I said, but if any, I'm a Jew. Well, that's all right, as long as you worship Jesus, that's fine. I wanted to know if we were all funny as kids.
I was actually a shy kid who didn't talk very much. When we grew up in what is now Buena Park on Clarendon Avenue, and then we moved from there to Northbrook because my father wanted to buy a new house, not a house in Skokie that was older. So we went from playing with Bangladeshi kids every day. We lived in that apartment building because Chicago's a great diverse place. With this, like, you know, Koreatown and Chinatown and Little Village and Little Italy and so on, ethnic neighborhoods. Bangladeshis didn't have that. We had this one apartment building with 12 families in it. So we lived there because it was like Bangla Tower, right? So we went from Bangla Tower to living in Northbrook. So I went from playing with Bangladeshi kids every day to looking at white kids through the window. So my sister and I played with ourselves quite a bit. But,
oh,
you know,
we did that, but.
With each other, I should say, quite a bit.
Oh, that's
So I learned a lot from TV. And I tell you this because I used to wait for my dad to come home from work. He was a doctor, worked long hours, so I would watch Johnny Carson with my dad. And so I learned those jokes because I learned that if you were getting bullied, your two choices were three choices. One, get hit. Two, run away. Or three, make them laugh and maybe their minds will open, right? So I would memorize the patter of Johnny Carson and then tell those jokes to my classmates during lunchtime. And somehow I learned what funny was from that.
By the way, though, you know, of course, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew, everybody would love The Comic Torah, a wonderful book created by myself and my fabulous wife, the comics artist Sharon Rosenzweig. If you'd like to have buy a copy of they are just in time for Hanukkah. I'm just saying, we do have copies for sale of The Comic Torah right here.
You know, my parents immigrated here, so we were Baptist. But the priest was always hitting on my mom, so we switched religions. We became Catholics, and the priest was hitting on me all the time. And then we became Protestant, because the thing about Protestants is they hit on each other. So we were all...
Well, you know, we're Jews, so for Jews, Shabbat is like the only holiday, it's the most important holiday. So for Jews to not eat and drink and party with your friends every weekend is a capital offense, and we're not willing to take that risk.
So my question actually was for Aaron. I was going to ask you how long you've been doing stand-up. Your dad answered for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just anything you want to say about growing up in your particular situation, and you're telling very sophisticated jokes. So anything you want to say about being that sophisticated at your age and, you know, how that goes over if you do it, I don't know. In other venues, you know, like at the school lunch table, for example.
It's unique that my mom's Jewish and he's Arab, because I know in my bar mitzvah there were like Arabs and Jews, which was really big because I know my rabbi hadn't seen that before, and so it almost made it news, but we couldn't get the present there, but we tried. It was nice because I wasn't expecting there to be so many Arabs and Jews in the same room, and a lot of the Arabs actually participated in the service, which I was actually pretty surprised by.
And there were Arab belly dancers there too.
Yeah, of course.
Led by Ray.
Yeah, they were.
You should just see him when he shakes it, boy.
All the men dance together in the Middle East. Yeah, right. Let's go.
I'd like to ask Aaron, how does your experience at your age compare to the experience that your parents had?
It was good. I mean, it's like semi-normal. I don't know. Like, many people think it's like so rare, which it is, but you grow up and you get used to it. You know, it's not like something that you're like not used to. You know, you just accept it. And it's good.
That's a benefit of having two names, Aaron and Abdullah, so he can go either way.
You mentioned that you formed a comedy team.
Yes.
What is that about, and how does it work?
Well, Ray and Charlie Wardy created the Arab Israeli Comedy Tour. We toured for a couple of years, the theory being if we can laugh together, we can live together. And it wasn't true. We fought like freaking crazy. Most of the fights were among the Jews, I will say. That everybody liked him, but them Israelis, I couldn't stand those guys. No, but actually, it really was true. We really could not, our politics was not, our comedy was not sufficient to overcome our politics.
Well, you know why Jews don't drink? It dulls the pain.
This podcast features a 30-minute highlight segment of the 90-minute Interfaith Comedy Show performance held on October 24, 2015 by comedians Aaron Freeman, Arif Chowdhury, and Ray Hanania, with a special premiere stand-up performance by Aaron Hanania. The event was taped before an audience of more than 250 people in the auditorium of the Holy Cross Church in Deerfield, co-sponsored by Beth Shevarim, the Humanistic Jewish Community. For more information on the performers of the Interfaith Comedy Show, visit the websites aaronfreeman.com, rayhanania.com, and Aaron Hanania's website at aaron411.com.
This has been the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.